Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, name 810, is Mahagarata. This is another of those names, the meaning of which is not very obvious to most people. Maha is well known, which means great. The word Garata is not so very well known. It means a ditch or a big hole. It can also mean, by examining the Sanskrit in a different way, a war chariot. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a big ditch, a seat of a war chariot, to be more precise. What does all this mean? Let's have a look at it. Parashara Bhatta takes this to mean he, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, pushes those who have lost their souls by following the path contrary to the path of Dharma. He pushes them into the deep pit of hell. And he particularly refers to Buddhadev, those who have lost their souls. Buddhadev preaches a teaching which it's founded on, or essential to it, is the concept of anatma. There is no soul. So those who have almost literally lost their souls or philosophized themselves into believing that they are not a soul, they are pushed into the path of, into the big hole of hell. Woo! Pretty nasty. Evang bahya ku drishti vinivishta nashtatmanam rauravadi garata asmat iti mahagarata. That's how Parashara Bhatta describes this name. He quotes from Bhagavad Gita in this regard. Ashradhanaf purusha dharmasyasya parantapa aprapya mang devartante mrityu sangsara vartmani. People who are devoid of faith in Dharma, oh, destroyer of the enemies, Krishna speaking to Arjuna, they never attain me, but they go back to the repetition of birth and death. Now, of course, the word dharma or dhamma, as it's rendered in the Pali language, which was the original language that Buddhist texts were recorded in, he also uses the word dharma, but the understanding of dharma in Buddhism is significantly different to that within the Vedic system, of which Buddhism or the teachings of Lord Buddha stood in, well, apparently in opposition. It's a debatable point or a controversial point up to the present day whether Lord Buddha he stood against the Varnashram Dharma and the Vedas and so many things, but at the same time he incorporated so much of the Vedic teachings into his own teachings, either directly or indirectly. But anyway, the point that's being made here by Parashara Bhatta is that Lord Buddha deviated people away from the path of the Vedas and thus sent them to hell for reasons which we have discussed in previous talks. Srila Ramanujacharya, in his commentary on this verse of the Gita, which I just quoted, chapter 9, text 3, he indicates that the people referred to in this verse are people who have, through pious activities in previous lives, attained the eligibility to follow the proper dharma of worship to Krishna. They're just about ready for that, but then due to lack of faith, they just deviate from that path. And Ramanuja, in concluding his comment on this verse, states, "Oho, Mahadidamascharyam. Oh, it's something very strange, something very extraordinary, that people who are ready for elevation, they just fall down into the pit. We are reminded of the game of snakes and ladders, where you can get up to 99, the 99th point on the snakes and ladders board, just one point away from the success, the 100. But there's, if you land on 99, there's a big snake by which you slide all the way down to the bottom again. Whew! Not such pleasant discussion, is it? This is the last of the names that Parashara Bhatta interprets in relation to Buddha avatar, misleading evil-minded people to follow the path which appeals to them, the path going away from the Vedas, and also to separate them from the followers of the Vedas so they don't cause any more disturbance by being even superficially within the Vedic fold. As we know, Sri Parashara Bhatta is, throughout his commentary on Vishnu Sahasranam, is much more emphasizing on the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that really endear him to his devotees, his solabhyam, his making himself freely available to his devotees, and his sushilam, his very pleasant characteristics, sushilam, his very pleasant personality and character in relationship to his devotees. But that is also an aspect of the Supreme Lord, that he punishes those who violate from the path of Dharma. That cannot be denied. It's to be understood that everything he does is for the welfare of everyone overall. Still, while it is necessary to understand that the Supreme Lord is the punisher of the wicked, still it's more pleasant to meditate upon him as the most loving and munificent person. Shankaracharya, in his commentary on Vishnu Sahasranam, commenting on this name Mahagartha, takes him to be the great chasm, the great pit, the great hole, in the sense that his maya is very difficult to cross over. And unsurprisingly, he quotes from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 14, in this regard, Daivihi esha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mam eva ye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. Lord Krishna says that this illusory energy of mind consisting of the three modes of material nature is very difficult to overcome. So that sounds quite discouraging, and that's quite in line with the name Mahagartha. But then again, Krishna gives us great hope by saying that even though the great ocean or the great pit or the great chasm of material existence is very difficult to overcome, one who surrenders unto him can easily cross beyond it. So on the one hand, there is the great warning that it's so difficult to cross over maya. At the same time, there is great hope. Krishna will help those who sincerely want to come to him. So what do we understand? He's like a great pit. He's uncrossable. You just can't cross over it. You may be an expert in long jump, but that doesn't mean you, if there's a huge chasm you can cross over it. We have the limits to how far we can extend our abilities. It just came to my mind now. I didn't think of it. I should have looked it up in advance. But there's, I just spoke about long jump in athletics. So someone can jump certain distance and someone else may come along and beat that. And then there's the world record. I have no idea what the world record is in long jump. Let's just say for the sake of it, theoretically, that someone can jump, I don't know, 12 meters. Then someone comes along and jumps 12 meters plus 1 millimeter or 1 centimeter and breaks that record. So it's a very long jump for a human. And it's far further than I could jump, even in my youth. But even though the world record may be gradually increased, 12 meters and 2 centimeters, 12 meters and 3 centimeters, and so on, it's unlikely it's going to come to 50 meters or 10 kilometers. That's not possible. Well, Hanuman, we're talking about the good year of the Lord 2022. And of course, Hanuman was a monkey also. So there are limits to how far we can go with our own abilities. And this is very important to understand for those who think that by their own noetic somersaults and strivings, they can work everything out and we'll understand everything, either in terms of science or philosophy, or we can understand why everything is going on, how everything is going on. There are limits to how much we can understand. It's true with the physical body, and it's true with our conceptualizing also. So Krishna is uncrossable. But if he picks us up and takes us, then we can go very easily. We can't jump over a great chasm. But if there's someone who can jump and they take us along with them, then we can go. The example is given in a very nice example in the Ramanuja Sampradaya, that if we take shelter, this is very much in the line of Tengalai, I would think, especially, that we are not very strong to cross over the ocean of material existence, but just like a lion jumps from one mountain to another very easily, so even the fleas which are on the body of the lion, because they're on the body of the lion, they can jump over also, not by their own ability. So if the idea is that if we remain associated with Sri Ramanuja, then he's like a great lion for crossing over what is uncrossable for us, and we can also cross over by his mercy. Of course, we don't want to be like fleas giving pain, but it's an analogy. So in the same way, if we take shelter of, we're talking about very high devotees here, then mahat sevam dwaram ahur vimuktehe, by taking shelter of the great devotees, that is the path for complete liberation from material existence. Vimukti should be properly understood as not simply liberation from material existence, but reinstitution in our constitutional position as servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Muktir hitvanyata rupam swarupena vyavastitihi. Mukti means to be free of all present forms that we undertake birth after birth and the designations that go with them, and to be situated in our original constitutional position, which is, of course, Jiva Swarup Hoy Krishna Nitya Das. We are all eternally servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is our real constitutional position. It may seem that there is a huge chasm. There is a huge chasm between our present situation and the purity that is required to be situated in our constitutional position as eternal servants of Krishna. But by his grace, we can cross over that chasm. Otherwise, it is not possible to cross it. We can't cross over. Samashrutaye padapallava plavang mahat padang punya yasho murare he. Pavambudhya vatsa padang parang padam 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 yadvipadang atesham. For one who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, the giver of liberation, then to cross over this great ocean of material existence, which is otherwise insurpassable, is as easy as crossing over the water in a calf's hoof print, which is so easy that if you see a calf's hoof print with some water in front of you, you don't even think of it, you just cross over it. Otherwise, for those who don't take shelter of Mukunda, there is danger at every step in this world. So Krishna is uncrossable. We can't overcome Krishna, or we can't even overcome his material energy. What to speak of Krishna himself? It is a great mistake to think that we could possibly do so. But it's the mistake that we make life after life, and especially the demons who stood up against Krishna and his various avatars. They think, well, who is this? I can defeat him. They see him as an ordinary human being, and they see themselves as extraordinary and think, we can defeat Krishna. There are so many fools like that. They're all vanquished one by one by him. Don't cross him. Don't mess with Krishna. Even we can't cross the material energy means, apart from getting free from it, we can't escape from the laws of nature. The laws of karma, rather. We are subject to the laws of karma. We can't escape. There's no way we can get free. We are subject to his dictation. That's it. Just accept. Just accept. He's in control. It's not a matter of democracy or everyone has the same rights. No, Krishna has all rights. We don't have any rights. It's up to him what he likes to do with us. Understanding this and understanding that he is a very kind person, the devotees very happily surrender to him. They stop trying to fight him or fight his diktats. Now, a completely different meaning taken from a different derivation of the Sanskrit is given by Sri Shankaracharya. A chariot. Gartha means chariot. So a great chariot. And that makes us think of the great charioteer. There may have been so many great charioteers in history. It used to be a great skill to be able to drive a chariot. Even to drive it is one thing, but to drive it in war is another level altogether. Just like there may be so many people who have a driving license, but to drive Formula One racing cars is a different level of driving altogether. You could say it's basically the same thing, but it's at a different level altogether. So driving a chariot in war, it demands tremendous skills that one has to be able to maneuver the horses, and horses, being sentient beings, are not as maneuverable as a steering wheel of a car. And one has to be alert to the incoming rain of arrows against oneself, and one also has to see that the chariot fighter who one is driving is not put into difficulty. One may have to swerve to avoid incoming arrows or duck. One has to also take orders from the fighter on the chariot. One has to see there may be dead bodies or half-dead bodies of animals and humans that can upset the movement of the chariot. So many things. One has to be super alert and super skilled and super well-trained. And believe it or not, surprise, not really a surprise at all, is it? Krishna's the best chariot driver of them all. In the war, in the battle, driving Arjuna. Even if Krishna had not been the Supreme Personality of Godhead, taking it theoretically, his skills as a charioteer and in advising Arjuna were a tremendous asset to the Pandavas, specifically to Arjuna. Great asset. Duryodhana had the choice, or both Duryodhana and Arjuna were presented with the choice, take Krishna, who won't fight, or take Krishna's army. Arjuna took Krishna. Now, again, even a non-fighting Krishna, in his capacity as a charioteer and an advisor, is a tremendous asset. If you can be a great chariot fighter, but if you don't have a good charioteer, then you're in trouble. Generally, the kshatriyas who have trained in chariot fighting skills, they also knew how to drive a chariot. We find that in the Mahabharata war, that as the days wore on and Bhishma fell, Drona fell, and then Karna came in, and he needed an expert charioteer, and he had Shalya, who was himself a great fighter, so that when Karna fell, Shalya himself became the leader of the forces. He was an expert charioteer, but he also, because it's a Mahabharata story. They're all complex stories. How he would insult Karna and tell him stop boasting and all these kind of things. So he didn't encourage Karna. So, well, sometimes he did, sometimes he didn't. Anyway, he's famous as the charioteer of Arjuna, and Arjuna got right into it. Senayor ubhayor madhye ratam sthapya mechuta. We find in the Bhagavad Gita at the beginning, Arjuna tells Krishna, just take the chariot in between the two armies. He gets into it as being the boss of Krishna. The natural duty of the chariot fighter is to order the charioteer where to take the chariot. So Arjuna got right into it. Of course, it wasn't long after that he was brought to understand that actually Krishna's taking a subordinate role, but he really is the boss, not Arjuna. We also have the example given in the Shastra of the chariot being like the body and the person on or the passenger on the chariot being the Atma, and then the chariot driver is the mind, and then the horses are the senses, and the intelligence is the driver of the chariot. So, and then the reins of the horses is the mind. This analogy is given. So if we take Krishna as the driver of our chariot, we're going to go very nicely. If we don't and we rely on our own intelligence, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. So Krishna, he himself is famous as a great chariot fighter, Garuda Dhaja. His flag was of Garuda. When that flag is seen on the battlefield, it's known, oh, there's Krishna, giving great courage to those on his side and great warning for those on the other side. Now, another meaning, this is given by Satyasandha Yatiraj. He breaks up the word Mahagata in a different way altogether to give the meaning that he goes to high mountains. He goes to high mountains. He resides in high mountains. And this, of course, we can link with so many temples are built in high mountains, very famously in South India, Sheshachalam, the Lord at Tirumala, Srinivas, Balaji, Govinda resides on the mountain which are the seven hills, Saptagiri, which are the form of the snake, Ananta Shesha. And there are so many, especially in South India, so many temples of Vishnu on great hills, Simhachalam, Pananarsimha are temples, Yadgiri Guta are temples of Nrsimhadev in the Telugu-speaking area. In the Himalayan range, we have, of course, Badrinath. And it's not only temples of Vishnu, we have Kedarnath also in the Himalayan range. And in South India, there are also high temples of Shiva, Murga, and Sabarimalai, Ayyappa, so many. Even in South India, the Christians have a very high temple on a hill, Gundalamart Shrine, or Temple of Mary, St. Mary's Church in the Krishna district near Vijayawada, where Mother Mary is supposed to have appeared on this hill on the 11th of February, 1858. Who is Mother Mary? We can understand that she manifests herself. It is actually Durga Devi who manifests herself as the mother of God in Christian understanding. She manifests herself in that way to make herself available to those who follow that particular line. Getting back to the understanding of the big whole, Baladev Vidyabhushan states that Mahagartha can be understood in terms of the Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu, from the pores of whose body emanate universes in seed form at the time of his breathing out. In him, millions of universes abide together in one place. Ihaikastam jagat kritsnam pasyadya sacharacharam mama dehe gurakesha yachanya drashtam ichasi. Krishna told Arjuna, now you just behold within my body the whole universe, everything, moving and non-moving beings. Everything is within Krishna, the whole, all the universe and the universes. It all comes out of the holes in his body. So you can imagine they're pretty big holes, Mahagartha. Although the universe has come out in seed form, but still, they're still universe seeds, not poppy seeds. Here's a quotation from Srila Prabhupada from a conversation. In 1976, September the 17th, Srila Prabhupada said, referring to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is also a living being, but he's the supreme living being. How? Because I breathed, some dust comes and goes out, and when he breathes, some universes come out. That is the difference. So because he is breathing and I am breathing, therefore equal? No. Pashyatya chakshuhu. He sees, but not like us. So there are so many ways in which we are similar to the Supreme Lord, but simultaneously different. And Srila Prabhupada points it out here, which is relevant to our discussion of Mahagartha, that we breathe, he breathes. When we breathe, maybe some little piece of dust or something comes out. And when he breathes, universes come out. That's the difference. Therefore, we have Vishnu Sahasranam, and we don't have every Tom, Dick, and Harry Sahasranam. Now, another very important point, or a very important, especially the yogis, they make a big thing out of this. There is a space within the heart, Hridayakasha. This is referred to in Chandogya and other Upanishads. The space within the heart in which the soul resides, Dahana Vidya of Chandogya Upanishad discusses this. In which the soul and the supersoul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, resides. So in this way, also he's called Mahagartha, although the Hridakash, the sky within the heart, is in one sense very small, but in another sense it's huge, unlimited. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in discussing this in relation to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, describes that within this Hridakash, within the sky of the heart, the whole spiritual world in relation to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the whole of Navadri Dham, is manifested. So, just like the previous name, Mahahrada, which means a great lake, this name Mahagartha, it points us towards the depth of Lord Vishnu. He's a very deep personality. He's not some bubblegum kind of imaginary god like this Sai Baba. He's the real Supreme Personality of Godhead. Very deep personality, deep truths, very deep plans, which we cannot work out, we can't understand why everything goes on in the world under his direction in the way it does. Very deep love for his devotees. It requires us to become very deep in love and very deep as living beings, as humans, not to be on some shallow petty platform in order to dive into that deep pit and be caught and supported by him into that deep ocean of love of God, we cannot be, we cannot be shallow, petty beings just concerned with our own tiny little illusory world. It requires us to minimally become thoughtful, committed. People are shallow. They want entertainment. Here we have on YouTube, I'm speaking some philosophy in relation to the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. But what do most people watch? Entertainment. Just distraction for the mind. So instead of distracting the mind as we hurtle towards our next death, which means we have to take yet another birth, let us rather contemplate deeply on how we got into this deep pit of the material existence in the first place and how we can cross over it by the grace of He who is deeper than millions of oceans, whose love is so deep we can hardly begin to even imagine. All glories to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known as Mahagartha. Vancha kalpa tarubhyas charkipa sindhubhyavacha patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nitaya chunakang padayani patyakrit vacha kakushatameta dahumbra vimi hei sadhava sakala eva vihayadurat gauranga chandra charane kuruta nuragaha. Parivadatu jano yatatata va nanu mukaro navayang vicharaya. Hari rasa madira madati mata bhuvi viluta manartava nirvishava. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.